Focus with Jessica Strutt on ABC Radio Perth.
G'day. Today's story is about good men, the kind of men who show up to a job they hate every day to help put food on the table, who put themselves last on the chain of priorities of family needs and often ignore their own. This is the vast majority of you. We know this. The gorgeous dads, the doting grandfathers, those cool uncles, and the best big brothers. Today's show is, well, it's kind of a love note to you all, a message that we love having you around and that we want you to be around for a long time. My dad died 9 years ago, and Focus producer Amber's dad died in 2014. And by the time my dad got his diagnosis, his cancer had unfortunately spread to his bones. And when Amber's dad's specialist suggested that her dad needed to go for further testing, he refused because I'm told he was a bit of a stubborn old goat. Does that sound familiar? As Father's Day approaches, actually it's on Sunday, our two dads won't be here for us to either pour them a beer or share a beer with them or buy their favourite block of chocolate. And you know what? They should be here. Prostate cancer is curable, and my guests today say nobody needs to die from it. That's right, fellas. That's what we want. We want you to stay alive. And I've got a couple of blokes in here who are going to help me with that. Brendan Barrows, 48-year-old wheat, sheep and cattle farmer from Borden in the state's beautiful Great Southern. And Dr. Tom Shannon is a local urologist from the Prostate Clinic. He practices in Netherlands and at Hollywood Hospital, and he also sits on the WA Prostate Cancer Foundation. He's been involved in some of the latest research in Perth on prostate cancer. And give me a call, 1300 222 720. Have you gone through this and what helped get you through? You can call that number, 1300 222 720, or you can send me a text. The text number 0437 922 720. Brendan, you were about 40, I think you said, when you went for your first PSA test, or the blood test, as they call it, for prostate cancer. Tell me what happened.
Yeah, Jess, 40 years of age, thought I'd go and get a checkup on my body after playing sport all my younger years and having flesh injuries on the outside that I could sort of see and do things about and get back on the field. I went and got some blood tests done and got a PSA test done, and yeah, and then got a result back and pretty well much was told that everything was okay, and I sort of took it upon myself to go back again in a year or so's time and got another test done, and it was elevated. And then, so I got shipped off to see Tom, and Tom did some further testing on me and found that I had high PSA levels for my age, and in turn, went and had a biopsy and investigated it further and found I had 7 tumours in my prostate waiting to climb on the outside of my prostate and get into the rest of my body. So, yeah, I was faced with the task of dealing with that with myself and my family.
What was the immediate reaction in terms of how did it make you feel?
Well, straight away I sort of thought, well, is this really happening to me at this age? And the things flashed through my head about, you know, am I going to be around to watch my son play football? Am I going to be there to see my daughter get married and have kids and all that sort of stuff? And, yeah, it was pretty nerve-wracking actually at the start. Myself and my wife, Melinda, obviously we're upset about the dog, what was going on, and, sort of had to focus straight away on getting on the other end of it. So
mentally, as well as the sort of diagnosis, it's mentally trying to deal with that, particularly because you were pretty fit and healthy. You're a footy player.
Yeah.
From all accounts externally, you were fit and healthy. There weren't any symptoms, as it were.
No, I had no symptoms. I was fine, you know. I felt fine. I was, you know, had plenty of energy and was doing what I was normally doing, and you know, working hard and just to have a look on the inside and find out stuff is what most guys really need to do at an earlier age. And I'm glad I went back and had another look and then got another second opinion on what was going on because, you know, back at that time it was, you know, 50 years of age was people were saying go and get a test then. And, you know, by that stage it's probably too far gone if you've got it at an early age.
What prompted you to go back and have that second test? You weren't comfortable with that first low reading?
Well, I think it was a change of doctors when I went, and I think there was might have been a little bit of miscommunication between the changeover doctor or whatever, and I guess the perception of doctors back then was, of what they thought was a time to have a look further or not, you know.
It's 10 past 10. You're with Jess Strutt on the Focus program. If you're just tuning in, we're talking today. Well, it's Father's Day on Sunday, and it also marks the start of Prostate Cancer Awareness Month. So I thought it was a great opportunity to raise awareness about prostate cancer and remind you to go get a check or tell that bloke in your life who you love to go and get a check. 1 in 7 Australian men get prostate cancer. 1 in 7. It's still the most commonly diagnosed cancer in men. And experts say, including the one who's with us today, that they're dying from prostate cancer too young, and with greater awareness, more lives could actually be saved. At the moment, we're talking to Brendan Barrows, a 48-year-old wheat, sheep and cattle farmer from Borden, who's driven all the way up for us today to tell us his experience. So, Brendan, you went and got this test at 40, and you said that was pretty young, and to me that sounded really young. Why then?
Well, my father had prostate cancer earlier on, and so I was aware of it, but yeah, I wasn't aware of the fact that I would have it at 40. And so I sort of knew in my mind about it that I'd need to get looked at some stage possibly, but the timing wasn't really told when it was the right time. So I'd sort of finished football and having doctors around me all the time fixing us up. I never really had blood tests from them or anything like that, so I thought it was time to go and get some blood tests done. And basically I was just looking for any signs of anything that might need addressing early.
And Dad at the moment still, he's been battling away with prostate cancer for like almost a decade?
Yeah, about 15 years. My surgeon, Tom, was available or was around and just starting in his profession when my dad had his first operation. And unfortunately, my dad's cancer had gone too far. So, yeah, so he's still battling.
Okay, so you personally get this bad news. You've got these 7 tumours in the prostate. What happens next on the process for you, Brendan?
Well, it was sitting down and working out the best scenario to treat it, because obviously there's side effects involved and, you know, there's mental issues involved. There's a whole lot of things that can be a changing life experience for you after you've had the operation or after you've gone through some sort of treatment. So I opted to go for the operation. I'd already had 2 children. So we weren't sort of planning on having a third, but we did take some precautions in case we did decide to have another kid. After consulting with Tom and all the other people and looking at all the options, decided to have the operation with Tom and get the prostate removed. And there's some upsides and there's some downsides to that. There's a risk involved in getting that done, but you know, with the cancer taken out while it's inside the capsule, which is the prostate, then it was a lot less chance of it spreading through the rest of my body, and it was out of my body. And subsequently, my tests have been pretty good since then.
As you said, lots of risks going into that operation. Did you have any advice for Tom heading in there?
Yeah, well, I did say to him, Tom, don't stuff this up because I'll be coming for you. Just before he knocked me out with a big smile on his face. But obviously, if people don't realise that all the nerves that run around your prostate control your erections for a man, and if that gets taken away from you, then the stress and the mental issues that come on to your life after that would be a lot to deal with. So that was a major thing. And so Tom with his expert hands, pulled every one of my nerves off my prostate before he removed it and preserved me, so I'm back to normal as much as possible.
You've just been hearing Brendan Barrows' story. He's a 48-year-old farmer from Borden about dealing with prostate cancer prognosis and the process that he went through, both emotional and then the process medically to get that treated. With Jess Strutt on the Focus program talking today, Prostate Cancer Awareness Month kicks off on Sunday, and thought it was a great opportunity to raise awareness about this issue. It affects 1 in 7 Australian men get prostate cancer, 1 in 7. And we've been hearing from Brendan Barrows, but now we're going to bring in Dr. Tom Shannon. He is a urologist from the Prostate Clinic here in Perth, and he also sits on the WA board of the Prostate Cancer Foundation. Tom, we've just been hearing Brendan's experience, but it's not all doom and gloom here on Focus. So tell me some of the good news.
Thanks, Jess. Well, the good news is that prostate cancer has never been more treatable and more curable than it is today, and we're able to get men through that journey, as you've heard from Brendan, still with all their function intact. We have a big problem with prostate cancer. The prostate's not really designed very well. It sits in a part of the body that's quite inaccessible, and it's surrounded by a lot of things that we want to keep. So normally when we do cancer surgery, what we want to do is want to take out the problem and then take a big margin around it to make sure that we cure the cancer. But in prostate cancer, we can't do that. In prostate cancer, it's so critical that we find it early so that we can preserve function. We've got the erection nerves, as you heard from Brendan, but we've got the bladder, the little sphincter muscle that keeps you dry, and the rectum are all within a millimetre of the prostate itself. So I guess if I could say one thing to everybody out there is that early detection is the key to surviving prostate cancer.
Brendan was just explaining about he went early at 40-ish because dad had already had a diagnosis, and we know there's that sort of connection there. But what age do we recommend people go and get a test?
Well, unfortunately, Brendan's story is actually not that rare, and his story with his dad is probably the key to it, that dad had a bad cancer. And by all means, everybody should be getting a test at the age of 40 if they've got a positive family history. So having a first-degree relative with prostate cancer increases your risk by about 2.5 times. So you've already said it's a very common cancer. If we make it more common, then we really do have to start worrying about it at a very young age. His story is difficult too, because he had that test at 40, which wasn't normal and really wasn't acted on. It wasn't until he was 42 where he just did another test for really no good reason. And we then found quite an aggressive cancer there. And if you think about what I said at the start, which is about early detection being the key, trying to get men through this journey without all the potential side effects of prostate cancer, is really quite difficult if we find it later. And unfortunately, what's happening at the moment is that for most men, we're finding it reasonably late.
Okay, a few texts here. Melinda, your wife's cousin, Beck from Bayswater, Brendan, has messaged in to say, "Hi, Jess, et al. Really proud of you, Brendan, for sharing your story to the public." And, we are very thankful as well, because it's a hard one to talk about, and you're, in a sense, one of the lucky ones that you're still around to enjoy the family. A few other texts have come in. Happy Father's Day. Get your prostate checked. Would we tell mothers to get checked for breast cancer on Mother's Day? Well, I think it's about celebrating men. And the fact is, too many of them are dying. That's what I'm saying today. That's the message. It's not about Happy Father's Day, get your prostate checked. It's Happy Father's Day. Too many beautiful blokes we know in our lives are passing away too young, according to the experts. And that's what it's all about, nurturing those people and reminding those people we love to go and get a check. Tom,
Well, I was just going to say, look, the reality for women is that we don't have to really goad them into having a test because we have a national screening program. I don't know why we've done it the way we have, but we do just as many PSA tests in Australia as we do mammograms. So we sort of do have a screening program, but there's no consistent approach to how those PSA tests are done or interpreted. So when you have a screening program, you also get the whole support and the quality assurance and the follow-ups and the training of the radiologist to know that they can interpret your tests. We just don't have that in prostate cancer. So the feeling at the front line is that the GPs are being asked to do a lot of work, but not really getting all the resources that they need to do it well.
Okay, got a text here from someone who says, DGR charity ride for prostate cancer research, 29th of September. It's a big worldwide event, says Nick on the text line. Thanks for that. Brendan, you did a big ride not too long after the operation, and that's pretty much putting your body on the line, isn't it? How did that go?
Oh, yeah, that was I was talking to Tom on the way in. That was a bit of a trip. I normally ride bikes with motors on them, you know, so a push bike was a bit of a trek for me to go from Perth to Margaret River, but the course was great. And I got on about, I think I was only a month and a half out of surgery or whatever. I was pretty fresh still. I know I had a bit of extra padding on my seat to do the training. And yeah, so I joined the group, Active Foundation. Active, was it?
Prostate Active.
Prostate Active it was. And rode with Tom and a whole heap of guys all the way from Perth to Margaret River, and I think it raised about $12,500 or whatever for the foundation, and it was a really good experience, especially on the last leg, because it was like a tornado hit Margaret River, and I was like the last guy in, and I had a couple of SAS soldiers and I think whatever came back and rescued me to get through the water that was running over the road and the wind and the rain, and you know, some people went to hospital with hypothermia after it, and I thought, I was lucky to get there anyway, and I do a little bit with the Prostate Cancer Foundation and try and promote this as much as I can to young guys.
John in Gingin's called up. G'day, John.
Oh, how are you going, Jess?
Good, thanks. You've had your prostate removed.
Yes.
Tell us what your story.
So I would just encourage all males to at least once a year go and have a PSA test. It's just a blood test after all. Because what they're really looking for is a baseline. So if the results come back at the same level every year, that's fine. But what they're looking for is a sudden rise, and that's what happened with me. And so after that, I was sent off for a biopsy, and this was at the age of 56. I was I had 14 sites that were of concern. And from that biopsy, when I went back to see my specialist, who is Dr. David Sofield, he's one of the other ones in Perth, he broke the news to me. And I must admit, I felt like I'd been hit by a Mack truck at the time. And I walked away out of his surgery thinking, did he just tell me that? But it took me about 3 months to process as to what to do next. And it was really a no-brainer in the end, because I have three children and I want to be around to see them all get older.
And, John, how fantastic that you will be around on Sunday and they'll be able to celebrate you. And we very much appreciate you calling in to tell us your story. That was John in Gingin, and we wish you a happy Father's Day, yes, for Sunday. Tom, I mean, is that quite a common thing, you know, that feeling, you know, you've been hit by a truck and then it's sort of like you've got have people sometimes got a bit of time to think about which road they want to go down, because there are options here in terms of how you deal with the prognosis.
You know, absolutely. Honestly, I think there are some differences between men and women, and when you give men bad news, it is like being hit by a truck, but then within a minute or so they're sitting up and they're fronting up and saying, all right, what are we doing? How do we solve this? We're a bit goal-oriented, which works really well for us in the short term, maybe not so great in the long term. We have quite a support structure around us these days, and I think that's really important. We have two really good prostate care nurses that I work with, and there's more of them around the state now than there used to be, and they're really critical in sitting down, taking the time away from the specialist to sit down and go through exactly what the choices and options are. At the end of the day, for most men, it is surgery. And the reason that it is surgery is the thing that achieves a cure. And one of the good things that's happening these days is most men are living long enough that they need a cure. If you've only got 5 or so years left, then maybe it's not worth going through a big operation. But if you need a cure, that's generally where we're heading. And what we try and do is prepare everybody for that and get them through it as easily as possible.
Okay, so before we get to some of the trickier stuff, let's talk about the advances that we've had in treatment and diagnosis. What's changed in the past couple of decades?
Well, probably in diagnosis, the big advance has been MRI scanning. So in older men, when you see a high PSA, there's a reasonable chance that it's not cancer because they have big prostates. It gets bigger as you get older. And we can do an MRI scan and those people can avoid even having a biopsy. When we do our biopsy test, there's a risk of us picking up cancers that did not need treatment. And it's much more common in older people, and the MRI can sort that out. So we're diagnosing a lot less of these low-risk cancers. So a lot of men are avoiding that diagnosis, avoiding treatment, which has been great. It's also been really helpful in sort of Brendan's example, where we get a roadmap of the cancer. And traditionally, with a more aggressive cancer, we would not have been able to spare nerves. But if you can get a roadmap and you can see all the details, you can see the nerves, see the tumour, and you say, yep, we can do this. So we've been able to get much better outcomes for people because we've got this really good imaging.
Lots of calls and lots of texts, so we'll get to as many as we can, but there are a lot. Tom removed my prostate 5 weeks ago by robot, a little bit late, had spread to my lymph nodes. Recovering well though, pestering family and friends to get checked, says that person on the text line. Pop your names on them so I know who's texting me. Brendan, do you pester your mates now? Like, is there a bit of a reluctance from mates to go and get checked?
Well, I do. I'm very open about what happened to me, and I'll share the message as much as I can because, I just really, the day when people tap you on the shoulder and say, I went and tested it and it saved my life because of something that you've done, is a really good feeling to have. And I'll be an advocate to let as many people know as possible. And I've done a few talks with groups of people and just explain the story. And when you say the raw story and you've come out the other side, that's the sort of stories that you want to hear, because there's plenty of stories that you don't want to hear, and we've all know that. You don't have to go too far to find one. But yeah, look, the more people that go and get checked, the more people are going to get saved.
Let's go to Joe. He's been waiting for a while on the line. Morning, Joe.
Good morning.
What, you got a question?
Yes, I've just been diagnosed with a cancer in my prostate. I'm mid-7 with 8 out of 10 biopsies showing a cancer, and my numbers are mostly 3, 4 and 3-3. And I've done a lot of homework talking to different men about the operation. The robotic one seems to be the most popular of the two operations, but I've also gone to see a Professor David Joseph about having radiation. And I'm a bit confused now for my level and what I have. What way should I go?
All right. Well, any advice that we would give here, Joe, would obviously be of a general nature, because obviously you've got your own specialist there that's providing advice. But in general terms, Tom?
Yeah, look, I think it's good to talk about what the differences are between treatments. I think at the end of the day, the way that I approach this is that we look at the cancer and we try and see how that cancer would behave if we did nothing, just to make sure that you definitely do need treatment. And then we would look at it and say, well, if we went down a radiotherapy path, what are your chances down that path? And if we go down a surgery path, what are the likely outcomes that way? Generally speaking, if you've got a tumour that is significant enough to need treatment and you've got more than 10 years life expectancy, then you probably need a cure. And cure, as I said before, is surgery. The issues aren't so much that people can't do well with radiotherapy, because a lot of people do, but if you fail radiotherapy, it becomes a very difficult problem to treat. We can't go and operate. Chemo doesn't tend to work as well. And you generally got a poorer quality of life because you're on more drugs and more problems.
Thanks for that, Joe. Hopefully that helped you a bit, and all the best with making that decision. We talked a little bit about the blood test, the PSA. There are other examinations which sometimes can make probably people not want to go and have these tests, but talk us through the different ways that you can be tested. The PSA is a blood test, and then you've obviously got the other test.
So the PSA test does 99% of the work these days. I mean, if you start at a very young age, and as our previous caller said, you look for a change, then there's often no lump or bump on the prostate. There are some really good guidelines that we've got available for doctors now, and that actually recommends that you don't do a rectal examination in general practice. What generally happens in my practice is that if I'm worried about someone, I really need to make sure they don't have a cancer. We may well be going along the lines of the MRI and then maybe the biopsy. So often I do the rectal examination when they're asleep. So it's not such a big problem anymore.
Right, that's good to hear.
Yeah, but look, the prostate in many ways as an organ is a bit of a bad joke. I mean, it's useless to us after you've had kids and someone just put it within easy reach of our finger. I totally understand why people don't really want to have that examined.
For the purpose of comparison, how does prostate cancer hold up against breast cancer in diagnosis and mortality rates, Tom?
We get more diagnoses of prostate cancer than breast cancer, and we get more deaths from prostate cancer than breast cancer, which is usually the thing that surprises people. Because of where the prostate is, we also get a lot more admissions to hospital, because if prostate cancer does become advanced, it does tend to block the kidneys, cause bleeding in the bladder, some major problems. I think the difference on the other side is that women can get breast cancer at a much younger age and they don't have this PSA biomarker. So it's a difficult journey for a lot of women needing chemotherapy and radiotherapy that a lot of men can avoid because we have a good test.
Brendan, you taught us before about getting that. It was quite a shock, I think, when you first got your diagnosis at such a young age. How do you feel now, day to day? Obviously, you're travelling pretty well, but it just sort of does loom large, I imagine.
Oh, yeah, I still think about it, but I get regular checks and making sure that it's still, you know, at bay, and my PSA levels are really low, and they get sent to Tom every time I get a check done. But, yeah, look, I think it's just education, educating people and educating young kids at an earlier age to be aware of it. And, you know, it can start in schools, it can start anywhere. If the education program's put in place at teenage years, then people are aware of it. And when they are in the doctor next time, it's so simple just to ask to get a blood test done when they go next door and get bloods done, you know. So it's a very simple test to do, and for peace of mind, it's probably one of the best things that you can do to prolong your life. And, you know, you don't think about it until, you know, the later years of life is where you miss out if you don't do anything, you know. And that's the message that you've got to get across, is you want to be there right at the very end and prolong your life as much as possible. And prevention of that is by going and getting a test.
Bo called in and just wanted us to say you have to keep an eye on the doctors to be sure they're doing the PSA tests. I was getting my bloods tested and assumed they were testing for the PSA and they weren't. And I was going to ask, there is some confusion around the guidelines in terms of how it works. Tom, can you talk us through that?
Well, the guidelines are really clear. The main problem is not everybody seems to know them. But the guidelines say that men should have a PSA test every 2 years from the age of 50. There was a huge review done about 5 years ago in Australia trying to solve any confusion that's out there, and you always hear the controversial PSA test. It's actually not particularly controversial. If men are having that test regularly, we know that they will live longer with a better quality of life. So what men have to do is to start taking a bit of responsibility for themselves. What's really different in the 20 years I've been in practice is that we're all going to live a long time. I mean, even if you've got bad prostate cancer with chemo and with medication, we can keep you going for quite a while, but the focus should be on a really good quality of life. And if you want a good quality of life, you need to be proactive yourself. And from a fairly young age, make sure you don't get overweight, you minimise your alcohol, have a good diet, stay physically active, and do the regular checkup tests, because there are problems out there, heart disease, bowel cancer, prostate cancer, that are really going to interfere with your quality of life. And what I encourage men to do is to have their own medical file. And when they come in to see me for a checkup, I print off their results. I say, here you go. You're in charge. I'm going to be watching you, but you need to take responsibility for your own tests as well.
Julie has called in from Scarborough. G'day, Julie.
Oh, I've got three sons and a husband, so I got interested in the statistics and the ways of running these things. And
get on, you, Julie.
I'm really impressed with the way they've been using evidence-based recommendations. Everything that the doctor has said has been entirely sound. One thing that hasn't been mentioned is that more than half the men with an elevated PSA who have a biopsy don't have cancer, And one of the reasons that doctors go for repeated PSA tests is that the rate of change is a good way to distinguish an aggressive cancer from just an overgrown prostate that isn't actually cancerous. So you don't panic at the PSA. The chance, there's a fair chance it might not be a problem at all. And the other one is that you can't really trust the PSA totally, because about one in seven-ish men with a normal PSA may still have cancer, which is why if something is going hinky, you should see your doctor, because it could be a sudden aggressive cancer that you didn't know about.
Julie from Scarborough, thank you for that. I'll get a response from Brendan there.
Correct me if I'm wrong, Tom, but if you have sexual intercourse or anything like that before going in for your PSA test, that can give you also an elevated reading?
Yeah, so the two common things you see is in young men, it's ejaculation. And in the guidelines, it's very clear that you do need to repeat a PSA test within a month to verify that it's abnormal. So we certainly do see blips in PSAs that are not cancer. And in older men, we have this benign enlargement of the prostate. And the prostate's a whole series of nodules, and sometimes they outgrow their blood supply and the PSA can spike up. So having a good previous history of low stable PSAs means we can often forgive these little blips and wait and have a look, or we do an MRI and we can wait. So I think you brought up some pretty good information there. And we actually do have local data on this, and we published over 5 years ago in Nature Journal, where we showed that in Western Australia, when we take people for biopsies, 70% of people have cancer, which is much higher than the overseas data. And of those people, 73% have high-risk cancer. So for some reason, we see a lot more cancer than you might expect, and we see a lot more bad cancer than you might expect.
Okay, a few more texts coming in with some questions. Does an infection in your prostate make the PSA go up?
Yeah, absolutely it can. So if you've had a urine infection around the time, it's almost a useless test. If someone's popped a catheter in, you've had surgery, even sometimes viral illnesses. But those are usually easy things to distinguish. And again, if we're worried and the PSA stays up after we wait a little while, we can always do the MRI and we can distinguish those things.
Okay, getting a few more texts in, a bit of love bombing for you, Tom, from some former patients. Albert says he had his prostate surgery in 2002 and he's still going fine, thank you. And Leslie says, Tom removed my husband's prostate 9 years ago and he's all clear now. He just wants to thank him for the last healthy 9 years they have shared. Thank you, beautiful texts. We always love to hear the positive stories here. Couple of texts. Ken says, finally, 720's put a program on about men's health with the guests being male instead of the overload about women's problems. Pity it's only because it's Father's Day is approaching. Ken, it's a lot more than Father's Day. It's about loving the blokes that we love in our life and reminding them to go and get a check. And, I hope a lot of people will be going and having a chat with the man in their life or the men in their life today to get them, remind them to go and have those checks.
And I know we were talking before about breast and prostate. It's really important that this is not a war between the sexes.
Totally.
I watch a lot of women go through this prostate cancer journey with their husbands, and they are so engaged and involved as well. So prostate cancer just doesn't affect men. It affects the people that love them as well. And probably if you don't really want to do the test for yourself, do it for those people around you. You need to be kicking around till you're 85 and, you know, been at all your grandkids' weddings. You're needed. Men are important and you're needed around.
And just because you get your prostate removed doesn't mean it's the end of your sex life, because my wife thinks it's not too bad with my prostate out. So it's
Still working?
Yeah, still working, and there's some positive signs. And one of the comments from the people that donated to me when I did the bike ride said, you should go and get a retrofit one.
Brendan, thanks for sharing that. Hey, Melissa's called in, and I think Melissa might be a little bit of one of these creative types. Good morning, Melissa.
Good morning, Jess. How are you?
I'm so well, and I believe you've got some beautiful poetry to share with us.
I have. My husband's PSA level was normal, but he just felt that things were not quite right. And so his doctor did the old-fashioned test, the DRE, digital rectal exam,
mm-hmm.
and agreed. It felt a bit nodular, so then he went through all the process that we've been hearing about this morning. So he's had his removed just this last summer, and he had a bit of a complication, but now he's on a really good track, and with physio is helping a lot, and, yeah, he's doing really well.
So glad to hear that.
Yeah. So I wrote a poem to the original doctor. He's seen, you know, a surgeon and really good people, and also the nurses in the hospital, the sexual health nurses, and are very knowledgeable people. It's great.
Well, we want to hear this poem now, Melissa. You've built it up. You've got us all sitting on the edge of our seats. Our ears are open.
Not that great. All right, here it goes. All hail Dr. Alex Morse, who really stayed the course and, please excuse the pun, stuck his finger up Mark's bum. A tried and practiced drill with good old-fashioned skill, hence saving hubby's life. Much love, his grateful wife.
Beautiful, Melissa. Thank you so much. And we need a bit of humour when we're talking about something that does bring a lot of tears to many of us. So thank you. Gorgeous.
My pleasure.
Gorgeous. You have a lovely Father's Day in your family. Beautiful. I'll always love it when people share those sorts of things. All right. So what do you think stops men from having being checked? I talked to Brendan about that. But what do you think stops them going and having these checks?
Look, I think a lot of men are more aware now, and they trying to keep themselves healthy. Probably the biggest barrier that I see is when people go to their GP, and there are still some GPs who say, oh, you don't need that test, or don't worry about that test, or they might do the PSA test but then not act on the abnormal result. And that's a tough thing, because the vast majority of GPs actually, like the last caller, they really go the extra mile, and there's a lot of GPs who have saved patients by the early detection of prostate cancer. But because we don't have a screening program, we are reliant on different people at different stages doing their steps. And to find prostate cancer is largely done with your GP. So if you want to know what your risk is, you need to have the blood test, and there should be no reason not to do it.
Bruce has called in, and I believe he's one of your ex-patients as well. G'day, Bruce.
Yeah, hi. Look, I just wanted to give a positive message, and that is that I was diagnosed 15 years ago with an inoperable prostate cancer. I've had many treatments. It's metastasized, but here I am, still alive, still having a good, leading a good life 15 years later.
That is beautiful.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks for that. I'll get a response there from you, Brendan. Bruce, yeah. I was expecting something longer there. I've had a lot of people who want to talk a lot, but Bruce was pretty sharp with his message there, Brendan.
Yeah, well, my father's he's in the same boat. He's been battling prostate cancer for 15 years or more, and he's still kicking along there. And if he hadn't have done what he'd done with the operation, I know it was a different system back then, but yeah, he survived to this. He's 72 now. He's still obviously got ongoing things that he's dealing with as we speak. But you know, he's punching on, and you know, and we've still got him around.
Beautiful. So the key message today is to go in as early as possible to get these tests, particularly with a family history, Tom.
Absolutely. Look, if you've got a positive family history, you know, you've got about a 1 in 2 chance of getting prostate cancer. So you need to take charge of that. And whether someone says you need a blood test or don't need it, get the test done, know where you're at. If you're not sure what it means, find out.
A couple more texts have come in. This one, Boyd, says, I'm currently 62. I had prostate cancer 13 years ago. I came back last year, so I did 7 weeks radiotherapy, and my level dropped to 0.21. A year later, it has climbed to 0.59. What comes next? Obviously, Boyd, as I said, it's a very general nature advice we're giving, and you've obviously got your own specialist, but Tom?
So look, prostate cancer, we've had a lot of advances at all the different steps, the early detection, the surgery, the radiotherapy, and it is very much a team sport. We've got a really good group of doctors who look after prostate cancer in Western Australia, great oncologists, great radiotherapists and great surgeons. At this stage where we've had that long delay and now we've got a recurrence, there's a scan that we can do that can usually try and detect where the cancer might be. And if we can find a single spot or a focus, which really could be the case, then very accurate radiotherapy can be very helpful. If that's not the case, then treating the whole body through chemotherapy or hormone-blocking drugs under the skill of a medical oncologist, again, often pushes this problem right into the background so you can carry on with a fairly normal life.
Another text here. Can you ask the urologist? On the efficacy of saw palmetto?
Saw palmetto is...
Did I pronounce that okay?
You did. It's a very commonly used herbal medication that's really designed to relieve the symptoms of outflow obstruction, so the slow flow, getting up at night time, not being able to wee. It's not really associated with prostate cancer at all. What we know about what causes prostate cancer is that it's multifactorial, but we don't have a supplement or a medication that we can take that reduces your risk. The best way to reduce your risk of prostate cancer and any cancer is stay skinny, exercise every day, eat a healthy diet, and don't smoke, don't drink too much alcohol. It's all the boring messages you see on TV every night, but they do actually work.
And we haven't got long left, but you've kept saying today that we haven't got this screening program, and a few people have actually texted in to say why we don't. I mean, it seems fairly logical that we would have one.
Look, the problem with any cancer that you subject to a screening program is that you may detect cancers that don't need treatment, and people could be worse off by being checked than otherwise. I actually don't see that that's the problem we have in prostate cancer. We can take somebody with a low-risk cancer and not treat them, and we can watch them and they don't suffer those side effects. But the real thing that's killing men in Western Australia is not knowing and finding the cancers late. So we've got two scenarios, either we test or we don't. If we don't test, the outcomes will be men turning up with a disease in their bones and having a horrible journey. If we do test, we'll have some men sitting around who might feel a bit anxious about prostate cancer who we're not treating and we don't have to treat. But, you know, you need to decide for yourself which group you want to sit in, because prostate cancer has no symptoms. You can't rely on that.
Brendan, you shared your story before and, you know, Sunday it's Father's Day, but it's also kicks off Prostate Cancer Awareness Month. How do you like to celebrate Father's Day with the kids? What does it look like? Do they make you little cards and things?
Oh, yeah, they're fossicking around in the arts and craft basket and making cards. And my daughter's away at St. Mary's at boarding school, so I probably won't get to catch up with her, but my son's still on the farm.
Send her a message if you want.
Yeah.
She can go back and listen to it.
If you're listening, Ruby, I am in Perth that you didn't know, and I've got a surprise for you, it's something that you'll really love to do with a champion footballer in Perth. So I've got that. And Boston, keep those foxes away from the sheep out the front that are taking our little stud lambs at the moment. when I was sitting in Tom's office, I was the youngest guy in there. So I was sitting on the chair and there was a lot of older men there and they were all looking at me thinking, what am I doing in here? And it was quite, you know, ironic that, you know, everyone in there was all, you know, down and not very happy at all because they'd gone in there and were obviously dealing with prostate cancer past the stage of just getting it removed and getting on and with their life. They had, you know, a battle going forward, you know, and controlling it and dealing with it for the rest of their life. And I was in there trying not to, you know, look too happy or whatever, because I was trying to be all upbeat about, you know, getting it out and getting it over and done with and getting back on track in my life as quickly as I could and really being positive on it. And I think that's a big message to guys out there that get it. If you can mentally stay strong and be positive about getting to the other side of whatever journey you've got to go through, then you'll come out the other side a lot better off than letting the mind play with you and give you a, you know, a bad thought about the worst things that could happen instead of thinking about the good things that are going to happen when you've done what you have to do to get back on track.
This one, Wendy from South Freo says, I feel a major reason men don't pursue prostate tests is fear of impotency after surgery. Sex is such an integral part of life, and the thought of not being able to perform is frightening to a lot of men, so they push the concern to the back of their minds. I think I think we might have touched on that a little earlier.
Look, it's a big deal. It's a really important thing. And a lot of men, when they're faced with that diagnosis of prostate cancer, they often say to you, oh, don't worry about that. And I'm often the one turning around and saying, no, you know, now's the time to think about it. You need to be greedy here. We need everything. And I'm lucky enough to have a really good nurse practitioner in my office who does all our sexual health work. And we have, you know, much better technologies now and good imaging, which allows us to save these erection nerves. So if you're detected early and you've got good erections going in, you should expect to have good erections afterwards as well.
Brilliant. Nice way to finish it up. There is hope. Oh, so Brendan wants to add something.
Oh, it was a big thing for me. Big thing for me. Don't worry, we were testing it out pretty quickly, making sure it worked. We didn't want any comeback on Tom, you know.
Fantastic. Thanks so much. Brendan Burrows, 48-year-old wheat sheep and cattle farmer from Borden, who was very kind in sharing that story with all of us. And Dr. Tom Shannon, urologist from the Prostate Clinic, and also who sits on the WA board of the Prostate Cancer Foundation. We very much appreciate those stories.